A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to listen to him, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to a farm to tend swine. He longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, and here I'm dying of hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and he went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But the father ordered the servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found." The celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, the father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." "My son," the father said to him, "you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Today's parable is probably one of the most well-known stories told by Jesus. Some call it the parable of the prodigal son, others the parable of the good and merciful father. It's a rich and a beautiful story, and a challenging one. There are 1,001 avenues, of course, that one could take in reflecting on this gospel. But today I'd like to begin with a simple question, a question that I think is pretty central to the parable. How big is God's house? The parable begins in a house where the younger of two sons enter into a dialogue with the father. "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." One author notes that the son is basically acting as if the father had already died. But the father shows no resistance, and after receiving his part of the inheritance, the son sets off to live life the way he wants to live it. We know the story. We know the miserable situation that he eventually finds himself in. And towards the end of the parable, we see him setting off for the very home that he had left behind, his head bowed in shame, his feet dragging, his heart broken. The climax of the story occurs in the beautiful verse 20. "While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him." It's one of the most beautiful verses in the entire New Testament. The son, returned home, is received like a newborn child with tears and kisses and overflowing compassion. A party is quickly organized, and both sons are invited to enter into the house of the father to share his joy. Because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life again, he was lost and has been found. It's at the door of the house where everything falls apart. This time it's the father's older son who breaks his heart. He doesn't think that the house is big enough for this wretched younger brother who suddenly returns home like a prince after living a life of debauchery and sin. "No way," he responds. "There isn't enough room in this house for both him and me. I've been a good and obedient son all these years, and now you welcome home this sinner?" Back to the question we asked at the beginning, how big is God's house? It's not just a rhetorical question, it's a theological question. It's a spiritual question. It's a question that we, the followers of Jesus today, have to ask ourselves. How big is God's house? The parable of the prodigal son isn't a parable that tries to whitewash the story of sin that a younger brother lived during part of his life. It's a story about God and God's infinite mercy and God's house that is big enough for everyone, even sinners who managed to wander home, maybe not even sure why. In the 1860s, a young French Dominican friar named Jean-Joseph Lataste, now Blessed Jean-Joseph Lataste, was asked to give a retreat at a women's prison in the town of Cadillac, France, near Bordeaux. He was 32 years old at the time and had no idea what he was supposed to preach to a group of, quote, lost daughters, as these imprisoned women were called in those days. But in obedience, he went and he preached the gospel, spending hours listening to their stories, which many of them confided to him. Some celebrated the sacrament of reconciliation with the young friar, longing to return to a God who seemed so far away for them. The women weren't the only ones changed during that retreat. The young friar was also transformed. So much so that a few years later he gathered a group of former women prisoners together and started a new religious congregation that was first called the House of Bethany, today the Dominican Sisters of Bethany. It was modeled on the friendship between Jesus, Mary, and Martha and their brother Lazarus, who lived in the small Jewish town of Bethany. John Joseph Lataste hoped to recreate the biblical House of Bethany, where everyone, saint and sinner alike, would be welcomed and feel at home. For Lataste, God's house was infinitely spacious and welcoming to all. A Spanish scripture scholar reflecting on this same gospel says the following: "In the religious crisis of modern society, we've become accustomed to speaking of believers and non-believers, practicing Christians and those who no longer practice the faith, marriages that are blessed by the church, and couples who live in irregular situations. While we continue to categorize God's children, God continues to wait for all of us. For God is not the private property of just those who are good, those who practice the faith. God is the Father of all." The older son in today's parable had somehow come to the conclusion that there was no more room in his father's house for his younger brother. He considered his father's house private property, and he part owner of that property. The father, on the other hand, considered his house and his heart big enough to hold the entire universe. So, is there room for you and me in that house? Just how big is God's house?